Hedge. A fence or boundary formed by a dense row of shrubs or low trees. A means of protection or defense, as against financial loss. Applying to jobs feels like dropping pennies into a bottomless well. Again and again and again we do it, but we never hear back. We get very little in return. The job boards are filled with listings, and yet finding a job seems to be as hard as it's been in recent memory. The job market, much like the economy as a whole, is just acting weird these days. Of course, there is AI, the biggest story in business. It popped into our collective consciousness around 36 months ago with the arrival of ChatGPT, and about the same time, we all seem to remember that was when the job market got fucked up. And so here we all are staring accusingly at AI. But correlation doesn't necessarily equal causation. There are lots of possible culprits. It could be AI, but in which way? Is it boosting productivity, reducing the need for headcounts, or is it causing confusion, slowing teams down? Is it the tariffs, or is it geopolitical volatility? Could it be job hugging? Or are we in a recession and we just don't know? Maybe it's a hangover from COVID overhiring. I've seen all of these as hypothetical market skewers, but my guess, it's not just one of these, it's all of them. I'm Josh Levine, and I spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works, technology, culture, incentives, and the stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. This podcast is me in real time trying to understand how AI is impacting job seekers and job hirers, and maybe eventually what to do about it. I'm on a mission to talk to 100 people about what they're experiencing. This is the Job Market Chit Show. Episode 10, is AI really taking jobs? Or why hedging is a fool's errand? First of all, let's just make sure we all understand. It's not just you. We are in a low hire, low fire environment, as the economists would say. The Bureau of Labor Statistics' latest JOLTS number, Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, showed that just over 6.5 million job openings occurred in December of 2025, with a low 3.3% hires rate and a low 2% quits rate. Similarly, Indeed's real-time job posting index shows employer demand cooled through 2025. And postings, which were at 11.5% above pre-pandemic levels at the start of 2025, are now at just 4.7% above pre-pandemic levels. And then they've basically stayed flat into the early 2026. Uncertainty is everywhere. And I've been talking to a lot of folks who are reflecting this. In fact, I just got off of a call with a colleague, Charlene, who runs a small social ad agency, and she's reflecting this decision paralysis. She says that they're just waiting for projects to close. They're really trying to get those projects over the start line, but their clients keep pushing them. And honestly, I don't blame them. What, if anything, could happen? I mean, what if one of their primary overseas markets is obliterated by an unexpected tariff, or worse, actually an unexpected bomb? What then? The conference board found that 43% of US CEOs said uncertainty would have the greatest negative impact on their business in 2026, and almost 30% specifically cited the tariffs. The Fed's latest beige book cited softer demand, rising input costs, and uncertainty about overall economic conditions as the reason for flat or lower hiring. It's no wonder that hiring and employment are low. It is extremely hard to decide to make a choice, especially about bringing on a new full-time employee, when the future is so cloudy. And in this market, if you do have a job, there's very little likelihood that you're going to leave. Lauren F. in our conversation reminded me that the job market has been pretty unpredictable since 2020. and that today jog huggers are prevalent, with people staying in jobs even if they want to change, reducing job openings. The point is, when the future is unclear, companies hesitate on decisions, particularly hiring decisions. Uncertainty about the future makes it harder to plan. And when it's harder to plan, we're cautious about what we invest in. And when we're not investing, we're certainly not going to be investing in hiring new people. So, as cynically satisfying as it may be to blame the shortage of jobs on AI, the more likely story is one of leaders hedging in reaction to what they hope is a temporary tempest. Now, look, I'm not saying AI doesn't have a role to play. It does show up. And in fact, in some companies, they've shown that AI actually does genuinely enable more people to do more things. But it is also important to point out that AI is being adopted as a corporate narrative, one that signals to the market and to investors that job cutting is actually AI-driven transformation, and they're rewarded handily for it. Block recently announced layoffs affecting over 4,000 people, about 40% of its workforce, saying that it was part of an AI-driven transformation. And its CEO, Jack Dorsey, former CEO of Twitter, is known for acting ahead of the curve. So he's going to overcut. But the truth is, one of the opinion articles written by a former Block employee said, he doesn't buy it. It's probably more like just trying to correct after pandemic overhiring and some internal reorganization. So it's not that AI created the layoffs, but it gave them a story to provide to everyone else. In Silicon Valley's current environment, companies are facing immense pressure to prove they are AI-first businesses. And when that happens, they signal future efficiency and reassure investors. The day after Dorsey's announcement of his layoffs, their stock price increased. Everybody's watching, and you're going to see more and more of these style layoffs because it's being rewarded. AI isn't the single cause, but it does contribute. It can be a productivity lever in some areas. It can be a rationale for doing more with fewer people. And it can even be a layer over an already broken hiring process. However you're using it, the truth is that white-collar hiring has slowed because companies are caught between fear and efficiency. Uncertainty, policy whiplash, and weak confidence make leaders hesitant to commit to headcount. But the general and pervasive hope that this uncertainty will end, I think, is very misguided. Leaders have always had to make hard choices with imperfect data. So what's causing all this hedging now? Why wait? It is the hope that this uncertainty will end. Before, we knew what we didn't know, but today, and I'd be willing to bet moving forward, we can't know what we don't know. And if that's the case, then just like the lead characters in Samuel Beckett's tragicomedy, Waiting for Godot, pausing in the hope that certainty will return is a fool's errand. The Job Market Shit Show, brought to you by me and my company, Great Mondays, a change consultancy helping leaders of private companies redesign their management systems so their teams are empowered, not overwhelmed by AI-accelerated change. You can learn more about my work at greatmondays.com. Are you experiencing the shit show? I'm collecting detritus and stories and I need your help. Send me a screenshot of that tone deaf rejection email or send me a note to tell me all about what has happened. I'm collecting these stories. And if you have one about looking for work or landing a job or hiring, let's talk. Email me stories@greetmondays.com and we'll send you a link to schedule a call or just write it out for me. If you'd rather read or watch the Job Market Shit Show, you can find us on Substack and YouTube. And finally, a personal request. If this helped you think a little different about how you approach job seeking or job hiring, please share it with someone you know who might benefit from knowing that they aren't the only one who thinks this job market is a shit show. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.